Blog Talk Radio.
Are you there, Tommy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's there.
On the road to victory.
We loving it cause we winning. Represent Eagles and brotherly love. Soon as you walk in, you'll have to feel
rock.
Being pumped all through the Lincoln financial field. But around here we call it the link, where you smell blood and victory, and we causing a stink. So don't come here trying to get bad, pumping noise,
cause here come the boys.
It's Alex and McNabb and D-Nab. No way you can stop him. He gon' get his, even if he run or stay in the pocket. They too fat to catch, or too small to sack. And their arms too short, no way you can block. And you know Brian Dawkins is wrong, and he's sick with the hits cause he got players coughing the ball. Hey, yo, your line need to read the defense book. They stand up, we knock him down like a right jab in the left hook. It's the replay. Now let's look, these cameras ain't lying right up the gut.
Brian Westbrook,
now what is y'all thinking? You better run faster than that, or you look at the back of Tom Pinkston.
I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. You're Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. I'm Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up.
No matter where you take us, still kicking field goals on our own 10-yard line with Dave Akers.
Yo, the enemy is at war,
but their luck's over. Giving hell to your soldiers with Terrell Buckholz.
If you down with the visitors,
yo, you better run because the 200 levels are old day. I know why your boy's missing. He got stopped for doing a block, but he got popped. Jimmy Johnson, know he hit. Had your QB stretched on the turf because he knows for blitzing. And your coach, I know he crying. His arm sent shut down by Ben Corey Simon. Andy B, make a game play fast. Take a look down in the end zone. You can see score, you gon' have to applaud.
We up in Philly, dog. You know what happens to Santa Claus.
Yo, our team got heart, y'all can't stand
but
up.
But yo, it's all Philadelphia Eagles.
I said
your hands
our
up.
Our team got heart, y'all can't stand
but
up.
But yo, it's all Philadelphia Eagles. Put your hands up.
My Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Your Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Our Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Our Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. My Philadelphia Eagles, put your hands up. Your Philadelphia Eagles.
Another sports tonight brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters of Ember, Pennsylvania. We're going to dedicate the show to the victims of 9/11 yesterday, a very tragic day, 11 years ago on that tragic day. But, you know, things happen, and they're in a better spot than we are. And I'd like to welcome to the program Roger Hendler, Orlando legend. Roger, you know, ain't no stopping us now. It's a song for the Phillies. 7 wins in a row for the Fightin' Phils today.
I'll tell you, I get nervous with Papelbon, though, Tommy.
I know.
You know, I just, that guy, just, I'm sorry, he just, he makes me very nervous. But I'll tell you what.
Don, what do you think about it?
Yes.
Remember, Tommy, this is the same guy that told us the Atlanta Falcons were going to win last year.
Everything.
And then this week jumped off the bandwagon,
hey,
went
listen.
Right to the other side, and now he's going to tell us about Pop Papelbon.
I knew that was coming, and I said to Rita that Don will not let me forget it on Sunday when the Falcons lost.
I guess
but no, it's great to see the
week.
Phillies right back in a hunt. This is unbelievable. If anybody had said, you know, 30, 35 days ago that the Phillies would be in the hunt the last 3 weeks of the season for, you know, a playoff spot, Roger, I have to agree. I never in my wildest dreams thought they had a shot, but they put together this streak, and you got to give them all the credit in the world.
Well, absolutely, Don. I'll tell you the one thing that I do think that you have to question Ruben Amaro is the why they didn't bring up those young relievers, excuse me, earlier in the season when the relief corps was a fiasco. And that's what lost so many games, you know. And if this had been done even maybe a month earlier, of course, you don't know what would happen, but, you know, I've heard nothing but raves about Felipe Aumont. You know, they got him in that trade, and but the other guys have done a good job. B.J. Rosenberg, they've obviously had a couple of pitchers that the relief pitchers that have been hurt, and, you know, they put Stoops on the 60-day disabled list because he had serious surgery earlier in the season. And, of course, you know, they missed him because he was pretty good last year. But I also, that's when they signed Darren Ruff to a major league contract because they needed to make an opening on the 40-man roster. So, you know, if they keep on playing, as the post-game Cliff Lee said, they keep on playing one game at a time, they're going to control their destiny, and we never would have thought it.
Absolutely. And, Tommy, I think the one thing you and I have talked about, as well as Roger and Frank and everybody, you know, they were so focused on the players that weren't there. They were so focused on what Howard was not able to come back. Chase Utley was not able to play. You know, there were so many factors involved in what the Phillies did over the first three quarters of the season. Roger, I really think they lost track of bringing up some of the younger players. I think they were so concerned about what was happening to the older players.
Yes.
Well, you're 100% right, Don. Mm-hmm. And look at how many shows we did with some of the guys that are long gone now, you know, that probably never should have been in the bullpen coming out of Clearwater. But, I mean, you look at – I mean, the thing is, and Tom McCarthy made this point, this bullpen is very young now with a bright future. I mean, really, I mean, you know, I think what the oldest guy is probably Papelbon. And I get nervous about him because of the walks, the hit batters, you know.
Yep.
It's never clean.
Well, down here we have Joe Peralta. It's the same thing. I say to Mark Stang, says, Mark, get him out of there. Get him out of there now. You know, he starts aiming the ball.
Well, you know, the one thing that's been really highlighted in the papers today, fellas, is, you know, when you talk about the Phillies, they're going to be the second highest paying team in all of baseball in 2013. Only the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have gone absolutely crazy, you know, are going to have a higher payroll. The Yankees are going to be down into around that $89 to $90 million number.
Right.
And the Phillies are going to be well over $100 million, and so are the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the Dodgers, I mean, what they have committed for 2014 is just unbelievable.
Oh, it's a mess. Great news out of San Diego, gentlemen. The Padres are beating the Cardinals 1-0, bottom of three innings right now. So that's fantastic news. I think the Phillies got to catch the Cardinals for that second wild card spot.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I've got the Rays game on at Baltimore, Camden Yards.
Ooh.
It's just starting, but it's a beautiful night at Camden Yards. Beautiful setting. You know, I did want we want to concentrate a little bit on the Eagles, and very interesting. I guess, Don, you probably saw it in the Daily News today. Paul Domovich, who's terrific, wrote a great column about Michael Vick. And, of course, what we've heard over the years many times was that he's a coach killer. And that was said by Jim Mora Sr. when Jim Mora Jr. was coaching the Falcons.
Right.
And the people that covered the team now said he was out of control. When Dan Reeves left, that's when he lost control. But it's very disconcerting to think about after that awful performance by Vic on Sunday against your Browns, Tom.
Not just Vic, though, Roger. The whole team stunk.
Well, it did. It did. But the other thing is they were able to go play-by-play on an analysis, and he does not look off to his second and third receiver. And
oh boy.
That's been the problem.
Right.
And they zero in one at a time, and their home run for the Rays to start the game.
All right, BJ up.
Yeah. Yep. So
boy, is he hot or is he hot?
Oh.
Yeah, he is hot.
He
is really hot. I was watching the game the other night, and he looked great. But that's the way I feel about it, Don. You know, from what I see, I mean, the Falcons now. I think it's going to be a tremendous Monday night game. I wrote a story today in the Southall Gazette and about talking to John Abraham on Monday in the locker room, and I asked him about now having to face Peyton Manning. And he had a really good point, and he said, you can't worry about Peyton Manning because he's going to do things to you, and you can't control it because, he's so good. So he says, what you have to do is do your job. And
right.
And he said, if you do your job, you won't have to worry about it because that'll take care of everything. But, isn't Peyton something, way he came back?
Well, I'll tell you, I thought it was a marvel. I had no aspirations that he was going to do anything like that. I mean, he played a game, maybe one of the best games he's ever played.
I mean,
it was amazing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And going back to your first point, though, and get a comment from you and also from Frank and Tommy, when you talked about Domovich's piece, the one thing you have to remember about Vic, and this is only my opinion, you're only going to get, at best, 12 or 13 games out of Vic. During the course
you're
of
right.
the year.
No,
he's
going
to get hurt. No question
right.
about it, he's going to get hurt. The second thing is, he only played 5 plays during the whole preseason. I mean, he hasn't
right.
played at all. Now you throw
Not
him in
right.
the opening game of the season, and he's had no exhibition games at all except for 5 plays.
Jeez,
well,
boy,
that's true.
That's terrible.
That's true, and... but I think that, Andy's on the hot seat. I mean, this is the theme for the entire season. And there was another story today, I think Les had it, or it might have been John Smallwood did it. And he went down to Baltimore and interviewed John Harbaugh. And, John's been in the playoffs the 4 years he's been with the former Browns, now the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And really has done a great job. But what happens is, and we've seen it over and over in our careers, the expectation of winning, once you become a winner, it's unacceptable not to win, to have a down year. And, that's where we stand. I mean, I think that the Eagles-Ravens game, I think that'll be a real telling tale on Sunday about Mr. Vic. And the defense on Sunday I thought was terrific, for the Eagles. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, Joe Flacco comes home. He comes back to Delaware.
Right, I was just going to say that because, they've sort of tuned in now to the no-huddle offense as well. And, Flacco seems to really enjoy the no-huddle offense. And now we're only talking about one game.
Right.
But at the same time, it's a real transition, and it seems like the team is very, very receptive to what's going on right now. We'll have to wait a little longer period of time, but it looks like Flacco really likes it.
Well, I can tell you, Don, the Falcons did it from the time Matt Ryan came. And, of course, you had Mike Mularkey as the offensive coordinator until this year. Now you have Dirk Cutter. But they run it and very successful, and Matt will tell you that he really loves it, and the whole team loves it because they just get into this zone and this flow, and it really keeps the defense off guard.
or the, you know, thing about that, Josh Friedman down here had a great opening day. You know, he had the Bucks had a 10-0 lead time I got there by the first half, and then after that, that second half, he didn't do nothing up there. Now, LeGarrette Blount's the main story down here. He took himself out of the game, and he's disappearing right now. We don't, they don't know where he's at, or he's put him on 15-day IR. But another homecoming, Greg Schiano goes back to the Meadowlands to play the Giants. And it's funny thing about this weekend, tomorrow night, his Rutgers team's coming down here to play South Florida, and the question is asked at the press conference, are you going to go watch your old team, Rutgers? Today? Well, I'm going to prepare for the Giants first, and the Rutgers, I'll get them later. And one of the questions in this press conference is, are you going to go see any friends while you're in New York? That's a business. This could be a business trip, strictly business. I might see some of them, but I got the whole offseason to go up for New York for a visit. So I got to give Coach John credit for that, saying that in the press conference today.
Well, I think he has he's very, very conscious. He's a little bit like Dick Vermeil. He's going to work harder.
Oh,
you're not going to find a guy
already,
that's going to work harder at his job than Greg Schiano.
Tommy,
and
there's just been an announcement that Blount will probably play on Sunday. He does not have a concussion, but they just kept him out of practice for 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah, just came off. He just came across the line.
Well, we're going to find out, because the Giants, there's a team that has to win, and they got back on the practice field today for the first time. They were off, following that loss to the Dallas Cowboys. So the Giants have to win, and the one thing about Greg Schiano, his team won the first game that he coached. I mean, as you said, Freeman, no interceptions. Mm-hmm. I think he only threw the ball 17 times. Didn't he, Tommy?
Threw the ball 17 times. 17 times, but the ball was efficient, and the running back from the rookie from Alabama was fantastic. The running game was good. They blocked well. The Rondé Barber, 200 consecutive game guys, and he made the interception on that game. So it's gonna be a great task. And I think the Bucks are up to this task to face the Giants. From the room in the locker room up there, Don and everybody, he puts up a sign, the team they're playing and how many days, hours, seconds have gone. So everybody in the locker room could go up and see that sign up. We're playing the Giants in X amount of days, hours, seconds, and minutes up there. So I think it's a great sign. It's almost like, Coach Vermeil did, and, for the Eagles that first year, when his first coach of the Eagles. It's the same darn thing up there. I'm starting to believe in Coach Schiano, what he's doing with his team right now.
They must have watched the Republican convention.
what a mess. Ability's finally coming back to the ice, and Sundays loom real large for the NHL, and boy, I love to talk about it. I can't comment about that, Don, but it's just going to be, we're going as business as usual right there until we find out what's going on Sunday up there. So
right.
Hopefully cooler heads will prevail on Sunday, and hopefully our commissioner will get this great game of hockey off the ground. The guys are in town already. They're having workouts, and Guy Boucher's looking at them right now. Even Stamkos, Malone, Vinny, and Marty are all in town working right now. So the players want to play. It's up to Donald Fehr to make the two sides come together right now. So, Commissioner Bettman, you learned before, don't let this happen again, because LA wants to defend their Stanley Cup.
Well, they had a tentative meeting today, they had a number of the Jersey Devil players on last night, they were very, very disappointed in what was going on. They were, and if you read, their thoughts, I don't necessarily know how close they are to any negotiations or conversations, but they think they're going to lose a month of the season. That was pretty much the gist of what they had to say on television last night.
Well, I'll tell you, when they signed Don Fehr to represent him, I knew there was going to be trouble. Because where there's trouble, Don Fehr is leading the way.
Exactly. That's a great point. Look, we need the baseball in 94, 95. The Indians had a great run to beat the White Sox, and then play stopped thanks to Donald Fehr. I mean, Bettman should know what's going on right now. He had that crazy lockout, straighten up hockey. And all he's going to do is tweet some numbers and get these guys playing again. I mean, it's going to cost like the the small markets like Columbus and Nashville, it's going to cost all that, you know, money they had people putting tickets right now and sponsorships, and that you can't say if you're a sponsor, well, I'm going to sponsor this team. We're not sure about what Commissioner Bettman's going to do. So it's a very, very, very sticky situation here in the NHL right now. And it's just going to be a mess. But the Lightning's have their poker playing tournament tomorrow night, so they probably have their poker faces on. Some of them be in New York, have their poker faces on tomorrow, because the owners are going to meet with Bettman tomorrow, and the players are going to meet with Don Ophir tomorrow in New York. So let's hope cooler heads will prevail. Let's hope we have a NHL season, and let's hope December 4th, you know, Don and Roger, you come on and see your Flyers play.
Well, that's particularly important, I think, excuse me, Roger, but I think it's particularly important to, you know, to Tampa, because your players, you know, your players that are star players except for the number one player in the league, they're older.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can't afford to take a season off.
No, Marty St. Louis is 37 years old. Vinny's in his, getting up to his 30s right now, and
a couple
other people in their 30s. Matt Carl's in their 30s. You got to get – I don't care what sport it is.
Le Cavalier, they thought he was finished 2 years ago. He came back
exactly.
Out of his year last year.
Right. You know, he's the face of the franchise. Marty's face of the franchise, 37 years old. He's quoted here in the papers, if he's not going to play, he signed a contract to go overseas and play hockey. You know,
one report, Tom, that the owners had offered 49% for the first 5 years of revenue sharing, and then 47% for the sixth year. I don't know whether you saw that report or not.
Yes, I saw that, and I thought it's a pretty that's reasonable right now. But you know, Don Ophir is going to come in there and all the negotiations, and he's going to screw up the NHL season and that for another couple months up there. So, I mean, these players are ready to go. The bodies are saying, let's play hockey. Now it's up to Gary Bettman and Don Ophir to sit down at a 24-hour session to hammer out this deal and don't let any work stoppage in a great game of hockey right now.
But, Tommy,
absolutely.
The one thing that really surprised me, that one of the leaders of the National Hockey League, and that's Ed Snyder, he's the one that's one of the real forces about being hard line. I mean, he has been repeating and repeating and repeating, and I guess in the media, he's one of the forces leading all the other owners.
Wow.
Well, you know, the Flyers is one of the most successful teams, you know, along with the original six, I guess you would say.
Right.
They're the ones that would get hit the hardest, you know, financially. Because you'd have to, and we talked about this last week, Tommy brought it up, about the revenue sharing within the teams, okay? You know, it's not like the NFL, I mean, where you've got, billions for television. And, you know, and it's very similar when you think about it on a more limited basis to baseball, because you have developmental teams, you know, so you've got players that you've signed, and it's not just what you have on your NHL team roster, but you know, I think if Donald Fair was good, he'd still be with baseball.
Gentlemen, speak about baseball. I have a good friend of mine, a good friend of the program. This guy does a terrific job with the Tampa Bay Rays, Mr. Dick Crippen. Dick, good evening, and great news out of Baltimore.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great.
I heard the guys were talking about all that money being spent up there on the NHL. I came in kind of midway through, but, you know, I mean, they're exactly right. Most people don't realize what the Rays put out money-wise, because
exactly.
They think that, well, they're just paying for the team that's on the field, and in reality, they've got last count, I think it was 9 minor league franchises.
Right.
And that's all on the payroll. That's where all the development takes place, not including the Dominican Republic and Venezuela, where we have academies.
It's a great point. Great homestand by the Rays, and now the great start right now by the Rays, 1-0. Dick, I still think this team's going to win the American League East. I got a gut feeling.
You have faith every year, and we appreciate it, Tommy. But I'll tell you, I'm with you. I'm with you. They have a way of gearing in. Somebody said, well, you know, boy, that was so bad last night. And I said, let me tell you something. It's a slap upside the head.
That's right.
This makes them realize they got to get really geared down, and you can't take any games lightly. It's got to be all straight on now.
it's a great game in baseball, but on last week's show, I hammered the fans of Tampa Bay for not attending those Yankee games. That was inexcusable crowd. You had the two top pitchers were going out on Monday night. You had everybody was, you know, going up there, but 17,000 and that. And for Texas, you know, for Texas, the attendance was fair, but I just think I'm for you guys 1,000,000% along Don Roger and Frank Gar, and I know that we're 1,000,000% behind you guys. And I mean, I love you guys to death down there.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate that, and we keep fighting the good battle, and hopefully things will start turning around and people will really get with us. Our television ratings are through the roof. People say, well, you know, maybe if you took them off television and, you know, forced people to come to the stadium, but I point to the Bucks of last year when they had all their games blacked out, and they fell from grace real fast. So yes, you can't do that. There's some people that just flat can't get to the stadium, and, you know, they still buy all the gear and all that kind of thing. And so, you know, it's all part of it. It's a catch-22, but you want it to be available so at least people can see what's going on.
Well, I think in this day and age, you really have to stick with that because not only, as you said, with the Bucks last year, what happened to them, but, you know, you turn your TV set on and it's not just watching, you know, the Rays play. There's so many games on every single night.
Yeah.
And you take the Rays off TV, and you're going to find, you know, a lot of your young people and middle-aged people are going to say, well, you know, let me follow another team. We'll follow Miami. We'll follow whatever, because they're on every day. You know, there's eight games on every night.
That's right.
Yep. You get that package, and it's going to be there. And no, I agree with you. I think it's, you know, really, as I say, a catch-22. You understand where the demand could be created. But, you know, at the same time, you got to sit there and say, hey, you got to have it available. People have to know the team. Baseball has always been based, since I remember anyway, way back when, way back when.
Don't say that.
You know,
Ty Cobb.
Actually, he was not a bad guy when he didn't drink, you know.
Yes, so you know it. Don was his coach.
Oh, there you go. But, no, you know, I mean, you followed players. You know, you knew the players, you followed them, you made it happen. You know, that's how it is today. You've got to get back to it. I said when I went with the Rays, which is, believe it or not, 13 seasons ago.
Wow.
I told the owner then, Vince Namboli, I said, Vince, the biggest problem baseball has is they lost at least one, if not two, generations. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's getting them back. That's what we've got to do. And that's why at the stadium we have a lot of things for kids, understanding mm-hmm. that, you know, you bring a kid to the game, they can only go X number of innings. And, by the way, Upton just made a really great catch out in the outfield.
Oh, good.
But anyway, I mean, you know, you've got to get those kids back in. And those kids, if you talk to them today, mm-hmm. they know Upton, they know Longoria, mm-hmm. they know these people.
Exactly. Because you're like this, any park, and about 10 years ago, never had a Rays gear on. Now you go the Rays Nation and that. They have Rays hats on, Rays on their license plates. And slowly but surely, we think the snowball effect's starting to go, people starting to follow the Rays. I mean, they're sure they watch it on TV, but to go to the store, they buy a Rays shirt and a Rays hat. And the kid would say, Daddy, can I go to the baseball game? And I started, my dad said, can I go to the baseball game one night at the Connie Mack Stadium? Worst neighborhood than the Tropic. And so we went up there and that. And that's how you hooked on baseball. The youngsters
uh-huh.
today want to watch it on TV. Daddy, can we go to the game? Can we go to the game next homestand? Okay, son, we're going to go to the game. And the Rays guy, inexperienced, you know, inexpensive tickets, fun thing for the kids to do. And you're going to be entertained by the game of baseball and 72-degree weather. You can't beat that.
No,
I agree.
Dick,
well,
I
the other thing, I think
you
have to give Joe all the credit in the world because, I mean, you're talking about a restricted payroll. You're talking
mm-hmm.
about playing excellent defense. You're talking about having a pitching staff second to none. And the job that Joe does, and he has proven that defense and pitching are going to keep you at the top. I don't care whether the Yankees have a $100 million payroll, $130 million payroll. You know, they're tied for first place with Baltimore. And when
mm-hmm.
they left Sarasota, every one of us said, if they win 70 games, they're going to be doing
right.
well. And look at them. They're tied with the Yankees for first place. Buck's done a remarkable job.
Yes.
He really has. I give him tremendous credit. No, you're exactly right. And I think that, you know, the overall picture is such that right now this is the best time for baseball. And mm-hmm. with this race in the American League East, I mean, every game is pivotal.
Mm-hmm. Especially the next homestand, you got Boston coming in, and they got Toronto. Every one of those games is crucial because Boston's playing, you know, the expanded rosters. Boston's going to try to want to knock off the Rays. What happened to Boston last year? So the
they're playing totally the spoiler role, both of the Rays and the Yankees.
I don't know if you guys saw the game last night, but at the end of the game, you'd think the Red Sox won the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable. The celebration they had on the field after that, you know, the winning run came across the plate. I mean, it was unbelievable for a team that's in last place in the American League East.
Don, yeah, about it. They are taking so much grief in Boston by, you know, the way the media is. And I watch TNT on Nesson in the morning, and I want it never ends. Dick, I wanted to ask you, not to get off the subject, but it's because you're involved with the Rays. Did I hear last night's attendance in Houston was like a little over 1,800 people?
I heard that today
on a report.
I didn't see that. I had one of these days where I was loaded down with meetings, and to be honest with you, I briefed the paper this morning. I obviously read the articles on the Rays. But I did not check on Houston, but wow, that would be something else.
Yeah, well, they've had 92 losses.
That easily.
Yeah, they've had 92 losses, I think, already. I mean, so, you know,
know how desperate they are. They're trying to get Roger Clemens to go back and pitch a game to get some people on the stands.
Roger, 13,000 last night.
Yeah, he's doing really great out there with a team, by the way, that's not even in the system.
Oh, no, it's independent. It's an independent team.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Like
it's not even
like the Camden River Sharks.
Right, exactly right.
But it was last night at 10th in Houston. They announced was probably, I looked in the paper right now, 11,000 announced.
Is that what it was last night there, 11,000?
Yeah.
Well, still, I mean, that's, you know, that says a lot.
Yeah, because you don't know how many were sold. People didn't show up, you know, but that's what they were saying. But I'll tell you, you know, Bobby Valentine, we talked about it. He's history, and I think they're just letting him stay there, from what the guys in Boston say, just to let it alone. You know, you can't do any worse.
Well, I don't think there's any sense in making a change right now. But, I mean, here's a guy, you know, and I knew Bobby when he was down here for spring training for so many years with the Mets and all that. And he's a great guy. I mean, he's fun when he's off the field. But, I mean, when he goes in there, I had questioned it the minute that they signed him as the manager. That was number one. And then number two, when he takes on Euclid and then Pedroia, I'm going, these are the two guys that are the core of the team.
Right. Absolutely.
Exactly. You never see Joe Maddon do that. But, Dick, it's funny. On Sunday, Joe had a Tampa Bay Bandage T-shirt on today. I said, what are you doing?
Tampa Bay Bandage.
Where did you get that? And I told him the old days of cash and carry, used to buy 4 tickets for $9. He couldn't believe that.
Oh, my gosh. Boy, next we know, Burt Reynolds is going to be sitting in the dugout with him.
When you had that T-shirt on, I said, Joe, I mean, this is nostalgia. I said, you should come over to my place, Joe. I got all kinds of nostalgia hanging in his den up here. He probably would get a kick out of it.
It's going to be a great last 3 weeks. I mean, it really is.
Gosh,
there's so much competition right now. I wasn't in favor of this extra, wild card team and all that stuff. I think that, you know, they're getting a little bit overboard. And let's face it, it's only one game. It's not like it's not like you're playing a 7-game series with this extra wild card team.
I agree.
You're playing one game.
That's right. But to say you play game 163 to have a chance to get in the dance for most of these teams, I have to give Commissioner Seeling credit, because the second wild card has created interest back in Philadelphia again, back with you know,
of all places.
Exactly. I mean, the four happened in Pittsburgh, over 500 September in Pittsburgh, of course, with the, you know, Seattle and Oakland right now, created interest in Seattle, Oakland for a little bit. And of course,
yeah.
Baseball with the Rays. I mean, we got to – I said to Joe the other day, I said, Joe, don't think a wild card. Think winning division. He says,
oh, yeah. No,
I love your attitude.
They're not playing with they're not playing for the wild card right at this point.
No,
but,
no. You don't want that,
you know,
wild
card. It's fun because, I mean, you know, and you guys all know, you know, you get at the wild card, you could still win it all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Look at the Cardinals last year.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's how
exactly.
they got in, and
yeah,
they went
exactly.
on that run. Yeah.
Well,
and it came down to the last game of the season to get in.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
don't
you know,
we know?
Jacob, you said, you know, and Tom said pitching and defense, because
yeah.
it's whoever
yeah.
has the best pitching staff is going to go far, because if they're in that one game, normally, you know, you'd be using your best pitcher. Well, you know, if you look at the Phillies, if they have three aces,
yep.
that would benefit them. And then Kendrick has just been on a tear, you know, since he went into the starting rotation permanently. So that's what it's going to be. I mean, if you have a great starting pitching staff, you're going to be the one that probably is going to win this whole thing.
Well, when you look at last night with the Rays, I mean, Matt Moore got out there and had a rough night.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of precluded everything that happened last night, and that's how it works, you know. If the starting pitching is good, especially with the Rays, because it is a young team, if the starting pitching is good, they can hang in there.
Right.
But the starting pitcher has got to keep them in the ball game, and you know that's exactly what we're fighting right now, because we've got tonight we got a kid Cobb on the mound. I mean, you know, when you look at the overall experience, it's not that much compared
right.
to the top pitchers in baseball. So things happen, and you've got to kind of – you got to count on that. But then again, you know, we had a night at the end of the last series where Elliot Johnson made an
mm-hmm.
error, and he's not the kind of guy that will make an error. But then you look
right.
at it and you say, well, the guy hasn't played the position since May, and now all of a sudden he's on second base. It's a whole different angle.
Exactly.
Well,
look
at the Phillies, too. When you look at, you know, Holiday and Lee, Lee had a terrible first half. And
yeah.
even the other night, I mean, Holiday, what did he win, 8-5 when he was on the mound? I mean, he's pitching poorly.
Yeah. Well, that was his first real bad game, Don, you know, in a while. But then you think about it, what was he on the DL for, what, over 30 days, wasn't he?
Right.
Over a month.
I think so, yes.
I think so, but
take a look at the schedule for next year. They put that in the paper already.
Yeah.
They open up with Baltimore and Cleveland. So
at home.
At home. So we're off the 4th of July. That's kind of like a bummer about that. I'd rather be playing baseball at home the 4th of July at Houston.
But it's hard to have fireworks inside the dome. So that's.
Oh, I know. But is this the tradition of playing baseball? 4th of July, like we did this past year. It was fun, you know, 4th of July, the Yankees are in town, and it makes an exciting time to go to the ballpark, because usually I get home late at night, and I'm, you know, tough going to sleep, but by that time, that series, 4th of July, I got up at bright and day, went down to the ballpark, and thoroughly enjoyed playing the 4th of July.
Well, one thing about the schedule coming up, we get to play the only ballpark we haven't played yet, and that's in L.A. and against the Dodgers.
Oh, that'd be good.
Let me ask you this,
trip.
Dick. I know the Yankees, basically, if you look at the last 10 games of their schedule, not that that means a lot, but they're playing, obviously, the under 500 percentage teams.
Yeah.
How do the Rays stack up for the last 10 games?
Well, it's, you know, again, they've got to play every night, and they've got to play strong every night. I think that, you know, they stack up okay. I think any one of those teams is beatable. The Orioles, for instance, got beaten twice by the Yankees in the last series. So we know that they're beatable, and we've beaten the Yankees. We've taken the series from them, so they're beatable. Toronto, you know, who knows? Toronto and Boston are they're both playing the spoilers.
Right.
And Toronto was the one that upended the Yankees the other night.
That's right.
You know, you just they're all playing hard at this point. Of course, guys are trying to hold on to their jobs.
Right.
And so I think it all enters into it. I think we've got a tough schedule, to be very honest with you, for the way the team has played this year. But I think they can do it. I really honestly think they have the talent to do it. It's just a matter of them doing that little engine that could trick that they do so many times, believing
right.
in
well,
themselves.
Well, you say the Yankees, but the Yankees have won two games in a row in a month.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're beatable, and we know that. And then when they get beaten by the Red Sox last night and get beaten by Toronto in the earlier series, then you sit there and say, okay, well, you got a chance against all of these teams. And the Orioles, the same thing. The Orioles and the Yankees are knocking themselves around. So I think, we've got a just as good a shot as anybody at this thing. We're two games behind in both the wild card and the championship race. So, we'll see how it plays out. But I think they've got a shot at it. We've got the talent that can do it. The pitching is going to be a little bit tricky tonight. Cobb is on the mound. It's
right.
now 2-1 Baltimore. So we'll see how Cobb keeps, if he can gear in and keep them at two runs. Because if they keep at two runs, we should be able to score two more.
Well, Joe likes to keep them in a situation where they either have to win the next to last game of the season or the last game.
Tell me about it. That's called raise ball. We've gotten so used to that. Tommy will tell you, we are used to that.
Yes.
We don't take any assumptions until the very last game. And
that's right.
But I'll tell you what, last year, playing in that game 162, I loved what I think it was ESPN did a great, great thing. I was hoping they were going to run it more, but they only ran it, as far as I know, the one time. But they did a fantastic job of combining all the four sites that were going for the
right.
different wild card and championships. And it was really, really interesting to see why people were calling it the greatest 6 minutes in baseball history. It was great.
I remember that because I went downstairs to watch the nine in the bar down there, and I watched Crawford messed up that ball, and in the Orioles score. Then I ran upstairs to the press box and seen Evan hit the 162 launches. Of, well, that was the greatest 2 minutes of baseball I've ever seen in my life, Dick. And everybody.
Well, and when you add in everybody else and all the other ballparks.
Sure.
I mean, it was just unbelievable. Every one of them went down to the last inning.
Boy.
And. Now it'll be great because the Rays go on the road next year and for the first time play the Dodgers, so we'll be able to see that new $235 million extra that they added to their contracts this year. That trade.
Hey, it's a great story on USA Today. I mean, I when you look at this, the money, I mean, you just can't
you
believe
in
it.
That? How in the world do you trade for that kind of salary level?
I have no idea.
Craziness.
Not only the salary level, they had to give the money in on top of that in cash.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, but I saw those guys, and I'm looking at that and going, oh, my gosh.
Well, as they pointed out in USA Today, and how many times have we seen it? I mean, you trade for these veteran supposed stars. Look
yeah.
what the Red Sox thought when they got Crawford. They thought they were
yep.
going to get the player that played in Tampa, and they got nothing.
Yeah, right.
And that happens so often now.
And now he moves over to the Dodgers, still keeping that unbelievable salary.
Right.
And they're going to hope that he gets off that injured list and he can play.
Yep.
But, I mean,
absolutely.
It was amazing because he is on the injured list, and they took him in a trade.
Yep. Mm. And they took half the salary. I mean,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's nuts.
You look over some of these guys. The Mets are still playing. Paying Bobby Bonilla. Can you imagine that? This is the last year that they're paying Bobby Bonilla.
You know, and how many people don't understand that in the NFL, a guy gets a toenail ripped off and goes on the DL, and, they find some excuse and he's out. And when he's cut, he's gone. They don't have that salary anymore. And it's
the only guy, the only guys in the NFL that get to keep their salary is if they're on the opening day roster.
Yeah.
And if they were on another team and they were dropped and then they're signed,
right.
But if they're there for two games, they get paid for two games. They don't get
paid
for the whole season. And you know, talking about that, I just want to send out our condolences to Brent Grimes, you know, from Northeast High School in Shippensburg and Pro Bowl cornerback of the Falcons. He tore his ACL, and he's on the IR, so he's gone for a year.
Man.
He's a great young man and also a great baseball fan of the Rays and the Phillies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that because, it's tough. But, boy, I'm telling you, we're learning with this concussion discussion and all this other stuff just how tough that's rough, man. I don't care. It may be a couple of seconds and all, but, wow.
Well, yeah. I think Roger Goodell and the National Football League, you see where they just signed a new deal today with two universities now to study concussion. You know, they're having so much trouble with the lawsuits now in the National Football League. I think they're trying to show solid interest by donating $1 million to research concussions. And I can't remember off the top of my head the two universities, but they got the money today to study concussions for the next 16 years.
Wow.
I hate to see anybody get hurt.
Tommy and I have known some guys out of that locker room with the Bucks who, it's really a shame. And I tell you, I get a lot of the alumni stuff on my internet, and I'm on the lists, and I see what they're fighting, and it's tough. But I don't know. I mean, it's awfully hard. You know, that argument keeps coming up. These guys sign up for it, and it's not like they don't know what they're signing up for.
That's true.
Nobody says you're going to get a concussion, but they certainly know the possibility is there. And I don't know. I mean, just the whole thing is crazy. But, of course, then you look at baseball and look at McCarthy out there finally getting out of the hospital and after being hit. And Jeff Niemann gets hit on a comeback and breaks his leg. Heck, Kepinger was standing in the dugout.
Right.
And a ball came in and broke his foot. And it's like, what? What are you telling me? What, are you going to start wearing pads in your shoes?
Look at Ryan Howard, that last out in the division series.
Right,
where he tore his ACL, just making a move out of the batter's box.
Yeah. Look at the sheriff the other night. On a bad call, not only does he re-injure himself, the calf muscle, but he's called out at first base on a play that he made by 2 feet.
I know.
That's not a good call.
And the replacement referees are in football, right?
We had our first female referee in the National Football League. How about that? That's sort of significant progress, I think.
Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you, it is. I mean, she wasn't on the sidelines reporting.
So they report on the sidelines, Dick.
Hey, I gotta tell you a funny story. This was on, it's in the papers. You probably saw it, and it's on, it was on
Was it like the Second World War, you mean, like was in those papers?
I'm sure you read it, Donald. I'm sure you read it. Did you hear the story about this kicker on a junior college in South Dakota?
I don't know.
Did you hear this story? Well, the coach took him out of the and told him to go up into the press box and tape the game, okay? Because he wasn't going to be kicking. So he goes up there, and when they won, he kissed this older guy who was 65 years old. The kid's 18. I mean, he gave him a lock kiss, okay?
Ooh.
So then everybody is, what are you doing? You know, what is this? I mean, I guess there was more to it than that.
Oh.
So he said, "This is my boyfriend." So when the coach confronted him, he said, "No, it's my grandfather." Well, then he found out, he admitted that he lied about it. It is, he's gay, and that was his boyfriend. He's 18.
Oh,
the guy's 65 years old.
Oh,
it's in the
my
paper.
Gosh.
But
there's more progress for football.
I know.
I almost fell out of the chair, Roger. Jeez almighty, a minute of silence for me. My God, that's crazy.
That's better than LSU getting four players taken off the team today. That, you know. Better to have a boyfriend than have four players lost.
Doesn't speak well for kickers, though.
Oh, no.
But they're strange to begin with.
Yeah, amen
that's,
to that,
that's right.
They ever. They're always on the end of the bench, and they're always off to themselves at practice.
Well, you're right, Dick. And look at the poor kid. What is it, Ficken from Penn State? Missed one extra point and four
yeah.
field goals to lose the game to the Nittany Lions.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. I mean, say what you will about kickers, but I still remember Dempsey at Tampa
mm-hmm.
Stadium when they were playing the Super Bowl and he missed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was like, oh, boy. I mean, you can't stand there and say that wasn't me.
That's right.
You know what was interesting talking about Dempsey? You know, one of our favorite guys is David Akers. And
right.
did you see that field goal that hit the goalpost and bounced over?
Bounced.
On
yeah.
Sunday,
tied
63 yards at time. Yeah, it tied Tom Dempsey's record.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
I went on Twitter in less than a minute, and Shireen Williams, who you know covers the Cowboys for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and is on the Hall of Fame committee, and who's a terrific writer and a nice person, she already tweeted within a minute. Of that, do you think that Andy Reid and the Eagles missed David Akers?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
You're talking about instant communication.
Wow.
Unreal, because that was David Akers, always money in the bank when he kicked. And also like the,
yeah.
you know, so like Gramatica for the old Buck days. I mean, he was banking.
That's right.
But I remember the old-time kickers like Luke Rosa, the old, you know, 1-2 hit the toe kick, Sam Baker, the old Eagles. You know, they none of this soccer winding stuff.
High tops Turner.
Yeah.
Yeah, Turner. George Blanda.
That's right.
I'm not admitting to any of this.
You're not old enough, Dick. This was part of Roger's, you know, that's part of his childhood. And we learn
right.
from him because, you know, always look up to your elders to find out what's
yeah,
going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, amen to that. Hey, listen, I mean, I admit I was a big fan of the Dodgers growing up, and now to be a senior advisor, and the other senior advisor is Don Zimmer.
Oh, jeez.
I mean,
isn't
you know,
that ironic?
Played, yeah,
isn't
played
that
on the 55
uh-huh.
World Series
By the
team.
Way, Dick, how is Zim doing? Because
he
not
is
doing,
doing
well
fine.
He...
You know, number one, he's lost weight. He's still on doing the dialysis treatment a couple times a week.
Right.
But he looks good. He's got good spirit. And he has lost some weight. He looks very, very good.
That's good.
Oh.
That's great.
So it's not recommended that that's a way to do it. But if you got to do it, you know, you might as well do it to your advantage. And it looks like he has.
What do you think of his Zim Bear? Dick, what does
he
think about
the Zim
Bear?
Can he take the dialysis over to the track with him?
No, that you're seeing too many of those ads for that thing that you can carry in your pocket. No,
it'd be good for the track. It's the worst.
Don's on a roll, Tom and Frank.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't want to hear about catheters in the pocket. I don't like that idea.
How about walkers in the press box?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, it's a great time of year, and we're having a ball with it, needless to say. It is typical Rays ball,
right.
And, you know, anybody's guess
is as
good as you. It's still 2-1. They're in the bottom of the second.
Dick,
so
I wanted to ask you, in your long baseball career, is there one memory that stands out, you know, more than anything?
You know, it's hard to say because here's what happened. When I went into broadcasting and I was in this area, we had 14 teams training here,
mm-hmm.
all in what we consider the greater Tampa Bay area. And, you know, I got to meet and interview and somewhat become friends with guys that, you know, I look back now and I say, wow, you know, that was phenomenal. And I mean, I remember I recalled to some people the other day, I said, I was up in the Mets locker room for the World Series between the Reds and the Mets and Boston in '86.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, all of a sudden I'm waiting to talk to Dwight Gooden in the locker room to get him outside for an interview. And this guy throws a bear hug on me and carries me across the locker room. Everybody's cheering and laughing and all that. And he puts me down, and it's Ron Darling.
Oh.
And I'm like, but I didn't even know Ron Darling.
Oh,
you know
my.
What I mean? But because I had been on TV for all the years that he trained here,
right,
and I had been out to camp all the time and all
right.
that kind of thing, he figured he knew me, and there was no problem. And, of course, there wasn't a problem. And it was great. I mean, one time I'm out at a local resort here in Innisbrook, and they're having a big party for the Buccaneers out there. And all the guys are around the pool and all that. So I told my station, I said, well, you know, I'm going to do live from the swimming pool because all the guys are out here. And I'm on the air live, and Theo Bell, God rest his soul, literally picks me up and throws me in the pool live on the air. And I got him back. Because I got out, and I said, and elsewhere in sports, and I continued on. Somebody came up.
That's great. That's a pro.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have to talk about Ron Darling. He's traded places with you now. He does the TNT games on Sunday, and he does all the
right.
Mets games on SNY.
Right.
So you and he have traded spots.
That's exactly right.
That's right, yeah.
But I got to tell you, after they threw me in the pool, somebody came up to me and they said, boy, you got to be really mad that they threw you in the pool and all that. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, that's the greatest compliment a team could give you.
That's
right.
Right.
That's right.
They thought I was one of the guys. So it was. It's great. So when you ask for a favorite memory, it's just awfully hard because there's so many people that I've met. And I totally say my career has been blessed. And had great, great opportunities. And I said, just covering that World Series, going between Shea and Fenway.
Wow.
And then, of course, the Bill Buckner, when he let the ball go through his legs and Ray Knight comes chugging around third base to score. I mean, you know, that's all part of it. And isolating it and saying that's the best. One of my best memories was actually in football, and that's after the Bucks won their first ever game. After going 0-26, and they finally beaten the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, and on the way back in, they came to me and said, you know, some people have won Buccaneer Place, and we got a little flatbed trek there, and if you get up on there and just kind of maybe like do a little MC thing and have a couple players talk and all that, and I said, well, that's fine. They said, well, now, first of all, when you get into the airport, sit on the first bus. Well, with the Rays, with John McKay, first bus was offense, second bus was defense, third bus was traveling party, and second and third did not, in any way, shape, or form, think of even passing bus number one.
Oh.
They'd 1, 2, 3. So I'm sitting there going, you want me which bus? They go, number one.
Oh.
Sit next to coach. And I'm like, okay, but I'm ready to be thrown off the bus. But anyway, he was fine. We get over there. Now, remember, I've flown back on a charter flight from New Orleans with the team, and I saw the case, if you will, small case of traveling vodka bottles going to the back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew who was sitting in the back, and he had the title coach. And he was going to be speaking to the crowd, and I'm kind of like standing there with my hand ready to catch him, you know. But anyway, we got back, and we could not turn on the West Shore Boulevard, the road leading to the One Buccaneer Place. It was so packed with cars and people that they couldn't get the buses down in front of the training complex. And we got out. There was like 15,000 people at 11:30 at night.
Wow!
And I met a couple that drove from Fort Myers, Florida. And I have what is amazing about that is that that was before the interstate.
Wow!
So,
that's amazing.
Maybe
the coach is one of the people that helped the people at the airport. Steal all those little bottles from American Airlines. Maybe he passed that information along.
No, there was a standing order. There was a standing order, win, lose, or draw. That went back. We saw that every game. No, it was great. And but between the team and for that turnaround from 0-26 and a year and a half later going into the playoffs, and then I relive it because in 79 we went with a team that I said if I showed you or Tommy or anybody else the roster, and I took Doug Williams and Ricky Bell and a couple of other guys off it, you'd look at it and go, well, what sport did they play?
Right.
Right. They were unknowns, but they won, and they went into the playoffs and went one game from the Super Bowl a year and a half after they went 0-26. So that, and then to come in
2000. Then they beat the Eagles in the first game.
That's right. Yeah, they beat the Eagles, and, the,
right.
and then the was it the Rams that came in and
yes.
beat us on a field goal.
I think Dick Vermeil, they lost their kicker, right, in that game, and
yeah,
a close game. They
like
lost
that.
By they lost by either a missed field goal or something like that. Right?
Yeah, it was crazy, but we beat them, and that was a great moment. But then to take that and then relive in 2008 with a team like the Rays.
Oof.
I mean, I tell people I've done the little engine that could twice.
That's right.
And both of those teams were all on faith.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. Guys, I tell you what, I got some work I got to get done, but I'm going to have to call it here and keep the TV on while I get my computer work done because I've had meetings all day today, and I want to get it done so it's not on my mind when I try to go to sleep.
Dick, great to talk with you again.
Dick, always
look forward to the next
always
time we do
a
it.
Real honor to talk to you, Dick.
Always a pleasure, sir.
Absolutely my pleasure to join you guys. I really mean it. I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And we're going to do it again.
Absolutely.
Sounds great.
Okay, guys, have a good night.
Thank you, Dick.
Okay, got
you.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, Tommy, Don, and Frank, you know, Dick alluded to the, you know, coming back from New Orleans. We'd be remiss if we did not talk about the real upset of Sunday, those Washington Redskins and RG3 upsetting those Saints, where every prophet, every expert said, oh, those Saints are going to annihilate the Redskins.
That's right. And our football poll did, too.
I know.
I don't think anybody we had on picked Washington to win that game.
No.
No, I don't think anybody in the world did, Don.
Yeah, you're right.
Boy, what did Bert Bell say, gentlemen, any given Sunday? And look, any given Sunday, look what happened there. I remember that. But Don, you won the football picks this week. You won it last week. Congratulations!
Listen to that crowd cheering Don.
We'll see if we can carry that over 2 weeks in a row. And I knew as soon as Roger picked against Atlanta, we were in good shape.
But you picked San
Diego. I'm picking
Diego
against them again.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to pick against him again.
Well,
uh-oh.
Norv Turner came through for me. First time in the history of my picking. I had him, but it's the first time I've ever won with him.
I left you a message on your phone. San Diego won for you.
I got
finally. Oh, my God. It's funny.
But if Oakland hadn't lost its kicker, he may not have come through with for San Diego.
That's right.
Didn't Oakland lose
that.
The kicker? Yeah.
Yes, I think they did. Oh,
or no, long snapper. The long snapper,
long
and then
snap,
all the
yes.
snaps were bad. That's what it was.
That's almost like watching the Eagles of Bill Bradley, the punter. Remember those bad snaps?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're awful. Remember one day he was in the end zone. The snap was over his head, so Bill Bradley got disgusted. He kicked the ball in his face.
Remember that? Yeah, and he was the barefooted kicker. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, that was
Tony Franklin. You
right.
know, Don, Franklin. When you talked about that game that the Bucks. Beat the Eagles, you know, because of the kicker. I believe that that Monday after that game is when Dick Vermeil ripped me up on one side and down the other, questioning Ron Jaworski not looking off the first read.
Right.
And you and Mr. Al Meltzer turned around and were laughing at me.
Oh, no.
Justifiably.
But that was a great question, Roger, because Jaworski, when you look back at that game, they lost 24-17, but he only had one receiver and was back to pass. It was Carmichael.
Tommy, we're gonna bring Roger back to Philadelphia to a press conference on Monday, and he can then take the time to ask Andy Reid why Vic only looks at one receiver. It doesn't look off the number two or three or whatever.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to be in good company. There's probably going to be about 30 people in there that'll be on the same page as me.
That's right.
Well, the difference was when we had those press conferences back in the early 80s. I mean, it was in the media room at the Vet.
Right.
And what were there, Don? Probably 10, 12 people,
you know,
because you didn't have Comcast Sportsnet and ESPN was brand new. You just didn't have the coverage. I mean, I was like the only from the area because I was, up in Trenton at BUD and Kix. But I was probably the only one. You were there from CAU and WIP was still music. You didn't have any sports other than what was on CAU. And then you had the probably three or four TV stations. That was about it that were covering it. And the papers, and I guess the bulletin was still there then early '80s.
Yeah, the bulletin was still there, and KYW always sent somebody down as well. They covered it. They covered it pretty well. But you're right. Your point is well taken. That now, unfortunately, there's too many. I mean, just
that's right.
Oh, it really is. I mean, it becomes almost a battle to. Get things done, and everybody wants to be up and ask a asinine question. It really is.
No, it's funny because these press conferences you get for these players, and I'm back here, plugged into the malt box or get the digital one up there. And half these questions are so stupid. They get these guys that don't do their homework in there, for one. They don't read the media notes, number two. Number three, they want to have their question so they'd be on their sportscast. That's what happened with the Rays 2 years ago. He had all these guys coming in, Bay News 9, coming in at Joe's office, asking Joe a question not pertaining to the game. So Mr. Rick Vaughn says, okay, guys, only game stuff only. You want to get your game stories together? That's it. You're not going to be off other than that. If you want to do the other stuff, you have to do it before the game. So thank God Rick said that. Honest to God, questions about the game. He's tired. You're tired. You want to get home.
Well, Roger's point is well taken. I mean, they would have a press – and even the Philly games, Roger, if it weren't for the regular beat writers,
right,
Henry Clay getting sound bites for a number of different stations.
Memory Lane Clayton.
And you and I, you wouldn't see anybody. I mean, once in a while somebody would come from one of the other stations, but that was it. Tom was there from KYW. You, myself, Henry, and
Tony Bruno
writers.
Sometimes. Yeah,
Tony Bruno
from FIL.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what was interesting. I mentioned last week about Asante Samuel Thursday. I got to tell you what happened. So Tony Gonzalez, that's his day at his locker for interviews. And, we're all talking to him about the emotional part of returning to Kansas City and, how much of his career was there and his brother still lives there. So it was really emotional, and they gave him just a wonderful reception. So all of a sudden, Frank Clea comes over and he says, Asante's at his locker. Well, nobody leaves, okay? They're still talking to Tony. And the TV people, even this past Monday, came in. They went over to Asante, and I do it later in the week. So last Thursday, so I go over, and they're really happy that a couple of us went over to talk to him. So he says to us, just as the TV guys were coming, one more question. So one of the other guy asked him a question. That was it. The TV guys came. And I said, Asante controls his own interviews. He doesn't need a PR person. One more question. That's it. So I called Henry, and I said, was he like this in Philadelphia? Because I was gone when they got him. And he says, sometimes. You know, so, you know, his reputation precedes him. But I'll tell you, he's a character. There's no doubt about it.
You know, one note today about the Eagles, you know, Jared, former Temple player, got cut. So, sorry to see him leave. And thought he had a chance to really stay for a few years anyway. But and maybe he'll come back. We'll see what happens. But
well, Don, he was the second-round pick. And that,
right.
And they said, everybody that I've read has said, he just has not been able to pick up the pro scheme.
No,
that's his problem. They've tried everything, and I mean, he was a great tackler. But on Sunday, he took out his own player when he dove to make the tackle. He took out Vinny Curry.
Well, at least he tackled somebody.
Yeah, somebody's better than nobody, right?
It's like the Bucs secondary this Sunday. They made Cam, like the Carolina quarterback, look terrible. And actually, Atib Talib actually defended a pass. I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, my God, look, guys, he actually knocked down a pass because all the other years he was toast and running
right.
A fly pattern down here. So but you got to give him credit. They played good football game. Now you got to go up to the Meadowlands, and, oh, boy, you don't know what to expect. And they play the Cowgirls next week. And then he returned the Redskins down here in Tampa and returned former head coach Raheem Morris. So I'm going to – it's going to be interesting with the writers who probably go after Raheem, and because he had a good reporter with the writers down here in Tampa. But Raheem was a good guy. You know, he got buddy-buddy with Rondi Barber and all the rest of the defensive backs. And this Greg Schiano, he came to the podium today. He was like, he was going to like fire in his eye. He wanted to go out probably kill someone right now. Well, Raheem, that is easier. Raheem is easy, but it's great. You know, Coach Schiano, he goes up for it. What do you want? Bang the podium down. I thought,
oh, geez. You know, Robinson Cano just did a home run for the Yankees. They now lead 3-0 over the Red Sox. And,
oh, boy.
But, you know, this weekend, Tommy, to be honest with you and Frank and Roger, we got some great games. I mean, tomorrow night is a good game. But San Francisco, I mean, Green Bay, they lost the first game at home. If they lose two games at home to start the season, could you imagine?
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's going to be a tough hole to dig out of to get into the playoffs, and the odds are against you. I don't know the exact statistics, but when you lose your first game of the season, there's a distinct disadvantage of getting into the playoffs. I forget what the numbers and the odds are, but it's quite high.
That's for sure. I have to agree with you, Don, about that, because at first, you know, Coach Green always had it in four games, 4-4-4-4. But if you got to win that second game of the year, it's a very crucial game. Like
Absolutely.
The Giants gonna beat the Bucks and be 1-1 in
that
division.
Right.
You have
exactly
to. You
right.
Don't want to see a team go 0-2, then you say the next week, then you say the following week. You could be like Carolina did the NFL. They were basically last year, you know, on their before John Cox got fired. They Ron Rivera. They're like 2-6, and they had to win the last four games to just get to mark over 500 right there.
How about those Harbaugh brothers? Can they win or not? They are unbelievable. I tell you, San Francisco had a big win at Green Bay last week.
Right.
They've got a big game coming up at home this week to go 2-0, and I'll tell you, those two guys they can coach. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh.
Well, you're right. They come from their father's coaching tree, and
absolutely.
Also who they coach with. But you know, Don, that was a great point you made, because what happens if the Packers lose at Lambeau tomorrow night to the Bears?
That's
they're
right.
0-2.
That's right. And then and both games at home.
Yeah, both at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
And warm weather to boot for Green Bay. Weather in
that's
the 70s.
Right.
I mean,
that's
you
exactly
can't lose
right.
a game that way in the 70s up there now. So you guys want to do the picks, or you want to wait till later, whatever you want to do?
Whatever time. You're running the show, Tommy.
No, whatever you guys want to do.
I just wanted to ask you guys a question. If you saw the piece about the Harvard basketball team.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Well,
I know.
Let me tell you something. It's not unbelievable. That's why they got out of the football business 40 years ago. because as soon as you get that kind of pressure to get to the NCAA tournament and to bring players in and all these things, trouble follows you right down. I don't care if you're Harvard or Princeton or what you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you start to make, you know, a little adjustment here, we're going to do this, you're in trouble. And Harvard got to the NCAA tournament, what, first time in 40-some years, almost 50
right.
years?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, so no, I'm not surprised. And as I say, that's exactly why the Ivy League pulled back in football. They said, we're not going to be big-time football players anymore. It's nothing but trouble.
Great point.
Well, the coach there is Tommy Amaker, right?
Right.
Yeah, he used to be in, wasn't he at Seton Hall?
No, Duke.
Duke. Mm. Okay, that's right. He was an assistant at Duke. That's right.
Right. Yeah.
So, I didn't want to get off, but I thought that was really surprising because there's also supposedly one of the football players that's also in that setup. And then also, Don, on a local note from our home area, how about the feds going into our good friend Mayor Tony Mack of Trenton?
Oh, boy.
And his brother, Raphael Mack, the former coach and a friend of mine at Trenton High School.
Oh,
you
no.
talk about shock when I got the flash on that. And then the guy from the sandwich shop in, I guess, in the South Ward.
Right.
All out on bail.
Oh, he's back in the mayor is back in his chair in the office now. He came in with guns blazing yesterday and said, there's no charges and no convictions as of the bomb in here. I'm going to continue to run my job the way I always did. And let me correct myself, Roger, because I was thinking you meant as a player for Tommy. I think you're right. He did coach at Seton Hall. I was thinking about where he played. He played at Duke, but I think you're right about Seton Hall. I think he coached there.
Well, I'll tell you.
Hey, Don,
you know,
did you know that the mayor's cell phone ring is ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching?
You don't really think he's guilty of anything, do you, Frank?
Hey, Frank, what I got to tell you is I said to Rita, you would not believe how many times I've introduced Tony Mack at games, and I did play-by-play on Raphael Mack's games, you know, when he was coaching Trenton High, and I'm friends with him.
Is that where you got all your money?
Yeah, guilty by association.
I'll tell you.
Now I know why there's crackling in these lines all the time. That's the FBI looking at you.
You're right, Frank. I think we're going to find out that he got a little payoff at the top.
Anyway,
these guys are really smart,
pitch.
Aren't they? I mean, they're really, really smart guys. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Anything can happen in this country, you know that. Jeez almighty.
You're right, Tom. You're exactly right. Anything.
It's just so crazy because you read the news today and you see the newsies. I mean, you can't go to a movie theater anymore because it's a violent there and these nuts watch
right.
these violent movies. They go on the natural and go out their everyday life in these crazy situations up there.
Well,
Josh,
tonight in Central Park in New York, they haven't gotten the guy yet. They're hopeful. They got a picture of him.
Oh.
He rapes a 74-year-old woman.
Oh.
Down in the subway station, a woman comes in with a knife and stabs some guy like 8 or 12 times.
Oh.
I mean, it's there's no safe place. I don't care whether you're in the middle of the country or you're on the West Coast.
Right.
I don't care where you are. There's no safe place.
It's just the world's going crazy, you know. They see Don and everybody. They watch what's on TV, especially down here in Florida. Frank, you could attest to that, right? And
yep.
they go to the beach and they could see a 16-year-old girl. And say, wow, she's really nice. I'll wait till she comes out of there. And then, unfortunately, the next thing they do, the guy rapes the girl. I mean, it's just unfortunate that way. The guys, the child molesters really bugged the heck out of me. How can you molest a 7-year-old girl? The guy should have his, you know, what cut off and string up for
You're
life
right.
when he do that. Oh, it's just inexcusable, guys. When you think about that, and that's why these baseball players go back to a Sunday morning service at baseball chapel. Gio gets the players together, and the other day Luke Scott was in there, Ben Zobrist, Carlos Pena, Matt Joyce are all in there, and and worshiping the Lord, which is fantastic. I said this to Joe Carter one day. I said, Joe, this chapel is fantastic. You know, there's no temptation. It says, Tommy, there's so many temptation for these guys out there on the road. These all the groupies are out there, and they get bad influence in that. And like myself, I just go right to my hotel room and just read the Bible and then go right to sleep. He's telling me that. It's just so much temptation when these guys go on their road trips. The groupies, you've seen it, Don and Roger and Frank, they all hang around the hotel room, waiting for the guy to come out there, and you know, the guy's down his luck. You see these girls come up to him, and they start, he start taking his money, buying him drinks, and next thing you know, the guy has a kid in every port, like a Cremonti for the NFL. I mean, he's got
right.
Eight different kids in eight different ports.
Terrell Owens, got a load of them. You know, Ray Lewis, he's got a load of them all over.
You know, it's just.
But he's a high character man. Yeah, you were talking about Ray. I mean, he's a high character person.
Oh,
that's good.
With a lot of kids.
only killed. What did he kill? One or two?
Right. In Buckhead,
Tommy, we have our resident hockey aficionado on with us.
Okay, Frankie, welcome to the program. How you doing tonight, Frankie?
Good. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
How are you, Frankie?
Maybe you can give us a fresh view on what's going to happen at these meetings.
Yes.
Because everything I've seen on television from the player standpoint, they think they're going to miss at least 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, you know, it's just ridiculous. Under Bettman, this league has lost more games than anyone else. This would be their fourth lockout since 1996.
Mm.
I mean,
of course, Becky, I can't comment about this. I'll let you do the comment for me. I'll be nodding my head
when
you're talking.
Well, that's okay. You know, I understand, Tom. Frankie, would you say it's all Bettman, or is it the Board of Governors, or is it a combination of all three factors?
I think it's all three factors, but really, Bettman should have been removed when they lost the entire season. But, you know, the owners love him because he won't blink. But what's happening is there's going to – I believe there's going to be a huge backlash if this happens. I think that what will happen is they'll lose more – you know, the diehard fans will always be there. People like myself, people like Bobby was, people like like you guys are, will still watch the game. But it's the casual viewer or the kids that are just starting to get into it. They're going to be like, what – these guys only play once every 4 years, you know?
That's right, yeah.
You know, they're going to lose a lot of money over this. Again, and I think you won't see Crosby back in the NHL if this happens. I think he'll go to the KHL, and he may end up retiring. I think the kid should retire anyway.
Well,
wow.
Just look at the numbers, the television numbers for the X Games. And the television numbers for the National Hockey League, it's got to tell you something. Kids are not looking at baseball. They're not looking at basketball. They're looking at X Games, motorcycle jumps, truck, what do they call it, chuck crashes.
Truck
and whatever
right.
they are. Yeah, that's what they're watching.
Skateboards.
Right.
Yeah, skateboards, another one.
Yeah. And they could lose another year. They could lose, it'd be, about 18 months with the lockout and then preseason, all that. And really,
right.
Hockey is a 9-month-a-year sport. I mean, there's only three
right.
months that don't have hockey in it.
Right.
And that's a lot of revenue that they're going to be passing on. And the small market teams are going to suffer horribly.
Hmm. I couldn't agree more. And they had just gotten the momentum built. You know, with the Devils last year and against Los Angeles, they had very good the whole playoffs entirely because the Rangers were in, the Devils were in. The great series along the way last year, they built up a lot of momentum for hockey to come back. And now, if they shut it down again, I think they're crazy.
I agree with Don about that.
We all think they're crazy. You know, I mean, it makes Frankie, I mentioned earlier, and the guys saw the same report I did, that the league offered 49% revenue sharing for the first 5 years of a six-year agreement, and then 46 or 47 for the sixth year. Did you see that report?
I did.
I wonder if that'll get it off the snide, so that they can come up with a good CBA agreement.
Well, you would hope that, you know, this is a case like it always is, but we know it is. It's a case of millionaires being pissed off at billionaires. And, you know, people, their self-worth is measured in goals and assists and, you know, shutting down some of the best players in the league, that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's what people pay for. They don't pay
right.
to hear about the collective bargaining agreement, because I don't give two dimes about the collective bargaining. I don't care about cap. I don't care about any of that stuff. All I care about is my team playing well, doing well, and winning a cup, which we haven't done in a long time. But, you know, most fans don't care about it. But in a day and age where the you know, anything that's tried in court is actually tried in the court of public opinion first, this is being tried in the court of public opinion. And the opinion right now is very neutral. You know, it's not favoring so much the players or the owners, but it's really favoring just a complete demise of the fan base.
Mm. Right.
Like you say, it's going to kill the small markets down, like especially Florida Panthers down here in Tampa, because they built a hardcore fan base up after the season before last, the run to the Stanley Cup Finals almost by the Boston Bruins losing in seven games. It's going to hurt Nashville. It's going to hurt especially Columbus for that, you know, this living on the threads up there and that. But, you know, I just hope for one thing. I'll say one thing, guys. I just hope that one thing that the commissioner realizes what the NBC network brought to the NHL. I mean, brought to them. The NHL network. The various
right.
Fan supports of different arenas. What's this going to do to the All-Star game in Columbus again, hurting another small market city for that again? And the Winter Classic, which Bettman built up, and we had on Scotty Bowman several times for talk about that. It's so built up, that's Jeopardy being canceled. I think the commissioner better go in there, talk to these owners, and get this thing done by Sunday. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Well, I agree, Tom. You know, when you talk about the revenue sharing, I know the players, I think, weren't they getting 54%,
right.
And, of course, the owners want it down. But the way I look at it now with these new, really pretty good TV contracts, my analogy is that 49% of 20,000 is better than 54% of 10,000.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a great point.
The other thing is they argue over this, you know, amount of money that they're talking about, and then they turn right around and they sign a player for 20 million or 30 million.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't
right.
make sense. You're complaining and shutting things down, and
right.
taking as Tommy said, a city like Columbus. You know, and putting him in jeopardy when the league needs everybody they can muster right now, as far as owners are concerned, they don't have enough money to keep everybody going, and they do that, and then they turn right around and pay this player X numbers of dollars, way over what the average salary would be.
Well, Don, didn't the Flyers on that offer sheet? To that the guy, the superstar from Nashville, and then wasn't it Nashville?
Yeah.
That matched it, right? I mean, it was a huge number.
Yeah. Oh, nobody thought they were going to match it.
But Shane Weber was like to Nashville, like Vinny the Cavier, Marty St. Louis are to the Tampa Bay Lightning right now, guys. And the thing about that is, I mean, here it is. You know, you got your tickets in place. You got your schedule in place right now. You're just winding down some corporate deals in every NHL city. Doesn't the commissioner know what's going on before training camp? You try to ink every corporate deal you can, both at his level and individual team levels. Doesn't he know what's going on with the different teams trying to ink their corporate deals? I mean, he's got to wise up and do something. Now I'm getting mad at him now. He better do something on Thursday, or else it's going to be – it might be a long year, guys.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Well, you know, as a fan, here's my take on it. We're talking about small markets that really have to fight for a fan base because, quite frankly, people's attention spans are about 18 seconds anymore. There's established teams like the original six. You know, Detroit's always going to have a fan base. Philadelphia's always going to have a fan base. The Rangers are always going to have a fan base. L.A. is going to lose a lot of fans, even though they're the Stanley Cup champions, because those people out there don't love the game like the people do in the established arenas. I can't even imagine what this is going to do to the Islanders. I mean, they're already on life support. You know, Nashville, you mentioned Nashville. Nashville has ripped and clawed to get fans there. I mean, it's a hard place to get people to come out to, but they've started to build a fan base. So really what you're doing is, yeah, you may have teams that are going to survive, and you will have teams that will survive. Even the Dallas Stars will do well. You know, the Canadians, the Maple Leafs, the teams that are established, they'll be okay. But it's the Nashvilles that are going to get their legs cut out from under them. The Panthers. I think less so Tampa, but Tampa's going to suffer. Even LA.
I wouldn't want to own a team in Phoenix right now.
Oh,
right.
Well, we're going to
right. Forget all those other cities.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Oh. The league owns that team, unfortunately, up there.
That's
now,
what I'm saying. And you're going to—I mean, they can't support that. How in the world they've been sponsoring that team for a year and a half now?
Year and a half, Don. You're right. How about Winnipeg right now? Winnipeg, just the hockey moved up there, then they shut it down for a year. It's just a crying shame. They haven't made a decision yet. Where you put the old Atlanta Thrashers / Winnipeg Jets on the division? They're still in the Southeast Division right now.
Right. Right.
How do you figure that one out, Frankie and everyone? That's crazy, though.
Right.
Hey, Tommy, we have another hockey fan on the line with us, Mr. Rick Sansone.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, there he is.
Good.
Rick, what's going on?
Sir?
How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just sitting here with Junior Rocket waiting for his mom to pick me up, and Frank gave me a call. I'm super excited to be on with you guys. And speaking of hockey, I got a little inside scoop for you guys. I think I'm just going to let out a little teaser because we're still working on it. There is a kid out of Tampa, Florida, that is really close to getting a junior contract in Canada to play hockey.
Ooh,
junior
great.
A patron.
Great.
And as soon as it happens, Tommy, I'll let you know. I'll give you all the info.
Okay.
Ed is waiting with bated breath, too, and some of the other outlets. But it's real close to happening. It's going to be the only Florida kid in the whole league up there and a Junior A Tier 2 team league out of Ontario. So speaking
wow,
of
that's
hockey,
fantastic. Well, you remember Brian Bradley. Brian Bradley took those teams from Florida up at Toronto and beat those Canadian teams up. They're the junior teams up down here and that. So it can possibly happen up there. So, Rick, what else has been going on in your world, in your great entertainment network?
I'll tell you, I've been very busy. We do every game, home and away, Tarpon Springs High School football.
Good for you.
It's been unbelievable. We got the big game this week, the rival game against East Lake, and we're having a Sweet Bay. One of my new sponsors is having a tailgate party on Friday. Ooh. I'm going to be there before the game. And on Monday, my Monday show now at 6 p.m., we have a coaches show with the head coach of Tarpon Springs, Ron Hahn.
Oh.
We do a coaches show out at a place called Loggerheads out in Tarpon Springs. So that's going real good. Going to be doing St. Leo University basketball again.
Good.
Everything's going good. I'm so busy. It's just crazy.
Oh, it's great.
Rick,
how's the hockey
on, are you doing an over-the-air radio, or is it on the web when you're doing these high school games?
High school is over-the-air radio, and we stream it through the web and through TuneIn Radio. It can be heard on WTAN 1340 AM Clearwater through my website, rocketsports-ent.com. And, of course, the radio website and TuneIn Radio picks it up beautifully. So we're getting a lot of coverage. Got a lot of people out of state listening, you know, grandparents that, you know, can't be there to see their grandkids play and relatives listening all over the country. It's really exciting.
Well, Roger and I have talked about this for years and years and years. When you're in a community, That's what radio is all about. That community.
That's right.
It's not.
That's
you know,
right.
You want to see ESPN? Fine. Look at ESPN and see all the all the major league sports, everything that's going on nationally. But if you live in Clearwater, or if you live in Sarasota, that's where you, as a local radio station, that's where you have to put your emphasis all the time.
We should have bought TTM years ago, Don.
You're
We're
right.
We're still kicking ourselves.
Yeah, right. It's
well,
exactly
you know,
right.
that station in Clearwater, they do the Phillies games, don't they? Or at least they used to.
No, they do. Actually, their sister station, 1350, up in Dade mm-hmm. City, carries the Rays and the Lightning.
Okay,
oh, good.
Okay.
That's the station that is right there by the bridge going over. The tower's right there, and the station is right by the bridge?
No, it's actually close to downtown off of Myrtle in Cleveland.
Okay.
They moved it, huh? All right, guys.
Was the
other
closet too small or what?
What's that?
Was the other closet too small? Now you're being to a walk-in closet?
No.
Listen, we've all worked in those stations, and you know, it was a closet. Let me tell you.
Tommy can tell you what the horror is about trying to do a show with people writing on your windows.
Well, let me tell you one thing. The radio business may be, regardless of whether you have a college education or whether you're a high school graduate or whether you never went to school, radio is the only place that you can go to and go in and work for $20 a week or $25 a week.
That's right.
You got 10 people waiting at the door for the
That's
job.
That's right. That's yeah. right. People waiting at the door. You're right.
Frank, I'll tell you the all-time classic in my experience in radio. I worked at BUD. This was back 21 or 31 years ago. And one of the salespeople was having an affair. Actually, I guess it was the news director having an affair with one of the young ladies who happened to be one of the owner's daughters, and she worked at the station, and she was married to one of the sales reps. So they're having their little set to in the production studio, and they would have their heads underneath the cutout, you know, where you would stand when you're doing production. So the production director put a sign underneath the counter so that when they looked up, he said, "Get the F out of my studio." That's a true story. And the reason it came to mind is, if any of you are involved in LinkedIn, the guy that was the production manager just sent me an email to join his group on LinkedIn. And this, I said to him, "I haven't talked to you in like 30 years."
It's always fun, Rick, and everybody on Wednesday night. We just sit around the campfire, I call it.
Oh, actually.
Was that our good friend, Mr. Harden? Is that the one that...
No, it was after Harden. Yeah, that's where it was. You were there.
Yeah.
And it was in the old studios off of Ewingville Road.
Right.
And you know the way it was laid out? You went in the back door, and then you had the one studio on the right, then you went a little bit further, you had the studio, and then the third studio was the production studio.
Right.
And that's where it was.
I can see it now. Oh, my God.
We worked at a station, Tommy and I worked at a station where during the middle of the program, we're all having a great time. The girl comes in and says, "Oh, guys, I forgot to tell you, we've been off the air. The tower's down."
Oh, my God.
Or before she tells us, we're off the air.
Well, Don, you remember that, right? You came in the studio one day. We had Scotty Bowman on our speakerphone. You remember that, Frank, right?
I'll tell you something. We laugh and joke and so forth. And well, let me tell you, it was part of the fun of the whole. You know, you wouldn't want to do anything else. I mean, it's the only thing.
You're right.
You never want to enjoy is doing what we do. But there
exactly.
are strange things that you go through. And, you know, you have to carry all the equipment. You have to set it all up. You have to,
right?
You know. It's all fun.
It is fun. I'll tell you another great story because Don, this is a friend of Don and myself, Frank Hillman. was a salesman, the number one salesman at BUD and Kix. And one day there's a knock at the back door, and I'm getting ready to do one of my reports. So I go and answer it, and there's a young lady there with a guy, and he's got a boombox. And so it's Mr. Hillman here. So I said, yeah, just a minute, come on in, and I go in and get Frank. The next thing I know, they got the boombox, and they're playing the stripper, and she's doing a strip right there. 7:30 in the morning for Frank's birthday, courtesy of his wife, Claudia. And I'll tell you, the classic, Don, was, can you see Jack Pinto's face when he
was... I was just going to say, one of the most religious people I've ever known in my life. And I can't imagine any stripping going on when he was there.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Tommy, we're getting short on time here. Do you want to do the picks now?
Yeah,
okay, let's go.
You guys ready for the picks? All right.
Yep.
All right, Rick, you want to be on this too? Frankie, Rick, okay?
Yeah, we're picking football picks,
yeah.
Sure.
Okay, ready? Okay. Buccaneers at the Giants. I picked the New York football Giants, and this is no-brainer here. Okay, anybody else? The Giants?
I'll take the Giants.
Giants, yeah, Rick says Giants.
Frankie?
Okay. Frankie? Did we lose Frankie?
Giants.
Oh, you said Giants? Okay.
Yeah. I got
Frank?
The Giants.
Okay, we all did a sweep. I'll put an S sweep on here.
Clean sweep.
All right. We're getting to that San Diego game, Don. Bears at the Packers. I got to go with the Green Bay Packers to rebound.
I'm with the Packers, too.
Okay. Gentlemen?
Packers at home. Lambeau,
yeah.
Right? Packers.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can't lose two in a row at home. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it'll probably be a three-point game, but I'll go with the Packers because they just can't lose two games in a row at home.
Okay. Frankie?
The Bears.
Oh, the Bears?
Yep.
Oh, my. Frankie?
Yep. Let me put him down for you.
Okay. The Bears are pretty good.
Yeah.
The Bears are good. I'll tell you, the one reason I took the Packers is that because the Packers had a four-day a week, and so did the Bears. So it wasn't that one's coming off a bye where you had like 8 or 9, 10 days.
Right.
Frankie, we need your pick.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Packers.
Ooh. Huh. Oh, okay.
You know who was a Packer fan?
Ooh.
Yeah, she was a fudge Packer, too.
Yeah, just because she rode Hershey Highway does not make her a bad person.
Uh-oh.
No, just because she's a bitch makes her a bad person.
Kansas City at Buffalo. I'm picking the Chiefs just for the heck of it. See what they can do. Gentlemen,
well, I'm going to say Buffalo can't lose two games in a row. Yeah, they lost terribly to the Jets last week. They got to win at home. I'm going to take Buffalo.
Yeah,
gentlemen,
Buffalo at home.
Yeah.
All right.
No way.
Everybody,
KC. Yeah. KC all the way.
Okay, I got
Whoa.
You. Got everybody covered. I'm over the KC guy. Uh-oh. All right, next football game is going to be Carolina. Saints at Carolina. I'm picking Carolina. They impressed me a little bit up there, but I'm picking Carolina. That's at Carolina.
I'm going to say
Carolina
the Saints
too.
Bounce back. I'm going to take the Saints.
Okay. Gentlemen?
I say
Carolina. I don't want them to win another game, the Saints. They knocked
Ooh.
Me out of the suicide pool this weekend.
Uh-oh.
How do they lose that game at home?
Wait
against
a minute
Washington?
Now. You're not picking with your heart. You're picking the team that's going to win.
That's my one emotional pick.
You know, I think the Saints are going to win. I think people have figured out Carolina and Cam Newton. You know, he had a horrible game the first week because people figured out what he's going to do. They figured out his moves.
Okay. And we got Roger, who'd you pick? Carolina or Saints?
Yeah, Carolina, right.
Okay, Frank?
Yeah, Saints.
Saints? Uh-oh. Uh-oh, we're 3-3 in that one there. Getting close to that San Diego game. Cleveland at the Bengals. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns again. This battle for Ohio, both teams 0-1, both teams lost. Cincinnati lost the Ravens 44-13, while the Browns lost the Eagles 17-16 up first. So, gentlemen, make your picks here. Who do we have?
I'm going to go ahead.
I want to take the Bengals.
Ooh.
I'm going to take the Bengals, too, Roger. I think they got a shot to win this one.
I like the Bengals. Andy Dalton, A.J. Green gets on track, catches a couple touchdowns. I like the Bengals.
Frankie?
I'm going to go with Cleveland.
Thank you. And Frank.
This is the game of the WEAK. I'll take Cleveland.
Thank you for picking my Browns. Thank you for doing that. So Don won it last week. He's going for 2 weeks championships right now, which would be great. Minnesota at the Colts. I'm going to go with Minnesota. I don't know. It's just a crazy pick. I don't think Andrew Luck's ready. But, gentlemen, your picks, please.
I'm going to go with Minnesota, too, Tommy. I'm going to follow your lead.
Uh-oh. Gentlemen?
I'll take Minnesota, too, Tom.
Okay.
I'll take them, too.
I like the Colts. Andrew Luck hooks up. Kobe Fleener has a big game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What is the Rocket drinking? We need to find that. No way you're going to win this. The Colts right now are kicking themselves in the ass because they let Peyton Manning go.
Right.
They're going to lose.
No, it's early. Oh. 1 week doesn't make a season. It's early.
Andrew Luck is not ready, and he's going to be on his back again a lot, probably more than Vic.
Oh, jeez.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
He had a better passer rating than Vic this week, didn't he?
Well, everybody did.
Vic had three interceptions.
Yeah.
He did get him in to win the game, but he had three interceptions before that.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Houston at Jacksonville. I picked Houston because, I don't know, the better team.
Oh, I'll
Houston's
take
better.
Absolutely Houston.
No question, Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
Houston
is at Jacksonville. At Jacksonville.
The Jaguars.
Oh, Jacksonville. Yeah, Houston.
Okay.
Blow
off. Okay, Frankie? Sweep?
Yep.
Yeah, Houston.
Okay.
There may not be a team in Jacksonville too much longer.
The Cardinals at the Captain Happy. I'm going to go with Captain Happy this week.
I'm going to go with Captain Happy as I did last week. I'm going to go with him again this week.
Roger.
Yeah, I'll go with him too, only because I think the Cardinals are going to wind up okay. It might take a couple of games, but they won that first one, and who knows, maybe Cobb is finally going to come around.
Definitely.
How about
okay.
that? He came off the bench and
yeah,
did a pretty good job. I'll tell you, I have to
yes,
give him a little credit.
Yes, yep. He did. Frank or Frankie?
Go ahead, Frankie.
Yeah, it's going to be New England.
Captain Happy?
Yeah.
Okay.
As much as I would like to see him get both his femurs snapped and forced into his thighs, I don't think that's going to happen.
I need clarification. Who's playing quarterback, Skelton or Cobb?
No, Skelton's hurt, I think.
Yeah.
I think Cobb, it really doesn't matter. I pick New England. I don't even
Kevin
know
Cobb, okay. You got New England. Okay, it's another sweep. Okay, the next game we got is Baltimore at the Eagles. And, of course, us from Philadelphia, you're picking the Eagles, right, for a sweep?
Yeah, I am. I'm picking the Eagles.
Okay. Donna.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, I didn't like what the Eagles did last week. I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Yeah, you
Rick?
Know, I think I'm going to have to decide. I'm going to have to go with
you know, I know we have a lot of listeners there in the Philadelphia area, Don, but I got to go with Baltimore after that performance Monday night.
Yeah.
I like that Harbaugh.
Okay. Frank or Frankie?
I think
you know,
it's
go ahead, Dad.
Go ahead. That's all right.
I was just going to say, you know, I've got to agree with Don. I just don't think that the Eagles, although I bleed green, I don't think the Eagles have it in them to beat Baltimore. You know, Ray Lewis and, I can't think of the cornerback's name. Ed Reed.
Flacco.
Ed Reed,
those guys were phenomenal last week. I think you're going to see a repeat. And this game is either going to be a field goal game or it's going to be a blowout.
Ooh.
I don't think this is going to be a 7-point or even a 14-point game.
So So
I think it's
going to
be close. I agree with your first part. I think it's going to be a close game. And you know, Baltimore's the kind of team that could put Vic out. I mean, if Vic doesn't run out of bounds this week, Vic is not going to make it.
No. No, they're hard-hitting up there. Next game, Washington.
I think Vic is going to be on his back more than a professional lady of the evening.
What kind of professional lady are you talking about, Frank?
Was that Chipper?
They used to call a massage therapist in Philly.
Was that stripper? There's probably that stripper at Rogers Station, probably.
You're close.
Washington at the St. Louis Rams. I'm going to go Washington. Impressive first win.
They're at the Rams, right, Tom?
Yes, well, they're at the Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams only because they did show some potential. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, Don?
I'm going to take Washington, too. I think it's about time that Washington made a little bit of an impact in the NFC East. So I'm going to take Washington and see what the quarterback can do.
All right, Rick?
I like the Rams. I just can't see RG3 with another repeat. Last week was an aberration. I don't know. I'd like to see the Rams win at home.
Okay. Frank or Frankie?
Yeah, I'm going with I'm going to try RG3.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with RG3. I think he showed a lot of poise. I don't think he's a kid that's really gonna be flashing the pan. He stood in there. He made the passes. I really think you see the next coming of Peyton Manning with RG3.
Okay. Our next game is Dallas at the Seahawks. I'm gonna go with the Seahawks. Anybody but the Cowgirls.
Yeah, I'll take the Seahawks.
I'll tell you, I took the Seahawks last week, and I'm going to take them again. They lost it for me the other night, but I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
Rick?
Cowboys.
Oh, uh-oh. Okay, Frank or Frankie?
I hate to say the Cowboys. I almost can't get those words out, but as I said last week, I don't think Pete Carroll can find his ass with his own two hands. How's he going to find the end zone?
All right, Frankie, you got the Cowboys?
I got to agree. I don't think Pete Carroll can find his ass with both hands and a GPS.
This is my favorite part of the program here, guys. The comments come out great. All right, Oakland at the Dolphins. I picked Miami because of home game, and they have a good chance to win.
I'll take Oakland.
Okay, Oakland. All right, Rick?
I love Miami. I like the East Coast teams playing the West Coast teams at home. Oakland won. Played well last week, I guess, against San Diego. Didn't win the game, but I don't think they'll play a good game against Miami. Tannehill's going to surprise people this week.
Frank or Frankie?
I think if Oakland doesn't solve their long snapper issue, it's going to be a long game.
You're right.
Because I mean, something like that can win a game for another team like it did.
You got a whole week to find a long snapper. I mean, they got 121 teams in Division I football. Somebody ought to be able to snap the ball.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, Don. The thing I'm surprised that they didn't sign Joe Zelenka. He was the long-term Falcons long snapper until
they went to
rookie, and Joe's out of the street. And I told you he wouldn't do any interviews with me because he must have known he was going to get cut. So, but I mean, there's a guy that's got a lot of experience that could come right in and solve the problem.
Hell, I'm going to sign Joe Pesci.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you can't go. Look what happened to the Giants a few years ago. They lost out in the playoffs because then everybody was a long snapper. I mean, you know, it's not like that's a, you know, high IQ thing to snap the ball on a punt field goal.
That's why they're off from the SEC.
Does anyone know what Barrett Robbins is doing? Does anybody know what Barrett Robbins is doing?
Oh, I don't know.
I do not.
No.
No, I don't know.
But I'm sure I could find a long snapper if I were a GM looking for somebody in that.
Absolutely. You're 100%.
The Jets are stealing.
Dad, were you the only one that picked up on that, what Don said and how I replied?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard it, but Don said, you know, you can't be that smart to be a long snapper. And I said, that's why they're all from the SEC.
All said Pittsburgh, gentlemen. I got the Jets. I figure, well, anybody but Pittsburgh, gentlemen.
I'm going to take the Steelers.
Okay.
I'm going to stay with the Jets. I think I know Sanchez is going to have another week like this weekend. Tebow certainly didn't show you what he played, five plays the other day. So I think that Wildcat's a figment of somebody's imagination. But
yeah, that's true.
I'm gonna go with the Jets two in a row.
All right, Frankie.
I think we saw what Peyton Manning did to Pittsburgh last week was Peyton Manning alone. And him directing that team. I think you're gonna see Pittsburgh bounce back and beat the Jets.
Ooh. All right, Frank?
Yeah, I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I think sending Sanchez out for a pass when somebody's going to club him or break his fingers or something.
That's true.
Wait a minute now. He doesn't go out. He just gets in motion, goes by. He doesn't go anywhere.
Somebody's going to get him, take him down.
He didn't even block anybody out there.
That's because he doesn't know how to.
All right, Rick, what do you got?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, okay.
Pittsburgh.
All right, here we go. Next game, gentlemen, it's going to be, here we go, Tennessee at Don, San Diego Chargers. I got San Diego Chargers, Don. I got my boy, too.
He's going to win me this year. He's going to win games. I'm going with San Diego.
I'm taking Norv
all week
also.
To say
Norv.
All right, Rick?
San Diego, 2-0.
Oh, look at this.
Look at it. Frank or Frankie?
Let's do a sweep.
Yeah,
sweep?
San Diego.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Sunday night game, Detroit at San Francisco. I'm going to go with the Lions for some odd reason. They 1-0, Motown. The Tigers are starting to choke. They got somebody to cheer about for the Detroit Lions.
I'll tell you, I think Detroit's one of the best teams, top three teams in the league. But I like Harbaugh at home. Somehow he finds a way to win. I'm going to go with the 49ers.
Okay.
Me too. I'm going with them too.
All right. Rick?
I like the 49ers.
Jeez, I'm left out of the wing. Frank or Frankie?
Given the fact that Harbaugh knew the rules more than the referees that did the game, I'll go with the 49ers.
You know, if you guys remember last year when we were doing all this, we were talking about both these teams and how good these guys were going to be in the coming years. I think this is going to be probably the best game of the week. You have two premier defenses. And these teams have been literally built from the ground over 5 or 6 years.
Right.
I think this is going to be a very close game, but I think Detroit squeaks it out.
Oh, Detroit. Okay. God, I didn't know about that. So last game, Monday night, gentlemen, it's a good contest here. We got Denver at Rogers, Atlanta Falcons. Well, Roger will be in attendance of that game. So I'm going to go with Rogers Falcons for this contest.
Well, I'll tell you, I said earlier I was picking against them, and I don't know, maybe I shouldn't. The only reason that I would even pick against them in this game is, number one, after what I saw with Peyton. Number two, John Fox coached against the Falcons for all those years when he was in Carolina. So even though you've had a change in some personnel, he's only been gone 1 year. So he knows the tendencies and everything else. But I guess I'll go with the Falcons because it's a home game. But it's also Peyton back in a dome on turf.
Ooh. How about the defensive secondary for the Falcons? Is it you know that a lot better than I do.
Well,
Roger, you're right
there.
That's what
I'm afraid of because they were okay when they had the three, Dante Robinson, Asante, and then Brett Grimes. Now, William Moore stepped in and got a couple of picks. And it was a key to, or one pick, and it was a key to the game. But he made some good tackles. But that's what I'm concerned about. But I feel much better. I'm sad that Grimes is gone, but I feel better now after seeing William Moore step up. And he's a young player, terrific guy.
Well, I think they're going to put more heat on Peyton this time. They really didn't. Peyton almost did what he wanted to do last week. So,
right.
I'm going to go with the Falcons.
All right, Frank or Frankie?
Go ahead, Dad.
I'll take Denver.
Ooh, Denver. Okay. Frankie?
I can tell you what I think. I think that Denver's going to be the worst thing to happen to Atlanta since Sherman's march to the sea. I think that Peyton Manning is going to pick them apart again because I don't think they're the premier team that everybody may think they are. I think they're a bit mediocre. I think he's going to go in there and he's going to pick them apart, and I think they're going to win.
All right, and Rick, the last selection for the evening.
Like Atlanta, Michael Turner has a bounce-back game. Julio Jones is an animal. He finds the end zone. Like the Falcons, the NFC South is the Falcons' division to lose this year, and I don't think they
I think you're right, Rick. I think you're right.
Yep.
Look at the Seahawks last year. It was theirs to lose, too. You know, I mean, well, not that division, but I think Atlanta's in a very weak division. I think they're a decent team in a weak division.
Wow.
Sherman will be, you know, he'll be on his knees crawling back north.
Gentlemen, great show again. We're right up against the clock again, gentlemen. Don, thank you for coming on, sir.
Take care. Roger. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you for coming on,
sir. Thank you, Tom. God bless, guys.
God bless.
Take care.
Roger.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling me. Always an honor to be on.
Thank you, Rick, for coming on, and Frankie for coming on. And oh, wow, what a great show. I'd like to thank Dick Crippen for the race, Philadelphia sports legend Don Henderson, Atlanta sports legend Roger Hendler, Rick Sassone from Rocket Sports and Entertainment, and also Frankie and Frank. Great show tonight, guys. I'd like to thank this show goes out to the, you know, the 9/11 people, which unfortunately perished from this great earth up there. And I'd like to say Bradford White Water Heaters, when you want purchase water, you log on to bradfordwhite.com, Tampa Bay Golf and Country. Give Tim Baker a call. We try to call him on Wednesday nights. He's not there, but give him a call, 352-588-5454. The Abbey Course, St. Louis University, Florida's best cap secret. Give Tom a call, 352-588-2016. Frank, God bless. Take it away.
Okay. We want to thank all our listeners worldwide and remind all our listeners that these programs are brought to you each and every night by our sponsors in grateful appreciation, the men and women of the police and fire services, the men and women of the armed forces. Remember, freedom's not free. Just like today, people are running in where people had to evacuate. So keep that in your mind. When you're out on the street and you meet somebody in uniform, introduce your children to them. Tell them they are the good guys, that freedom isn't free, and these guys are doing everything they can to keep you free. These programs are also dedicated personally to Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kolkap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Richie Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, the Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogel, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford of the Wilmington Bureau of Fire, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro from the Philadelphia Highway Patrol, and the Patrolman Henry Moses, who was gunned down senselessly in Philadelphia. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the sun fall softly on your face. May the rains fall fully on your field. And until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ahezahir ma, son ashen evorat fet hakuig again ma yelama. Grief and pain are all I know. fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the field.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.